Do you ever feel like what you do never measures up? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Eddie Anders, who lived a life for success, but always felt like he never measured up.
You know, when I really started seeking the Lord and then we got married, there's this woman in the Bible that kept being brought up to me called the Proverbs 31 woman. Mm. And in church, I would hear about this woman and they would talk about how amazing she is and how she worked so hard and owned a business and took care of her family. And I started saying, I'm going to be like this woman. I want to be the Proverbs 31 woman. I want to work hard. I want to just be this picture-perfect Christian woman. And as I started to really seek to be this woman, I felt like I could never measure up. Huh. It was like I could never hit those words in the Bible. I could never meet up to this woman. So for those women who are listening, it's very self-defeating when you're trying to be someone you're not and you're trying to make things happen in your own strength. You just feel like, I just don't measure up. I don't know if I'm the godly woman that God is wanting me to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's just woman either. I think a lot of men struggle with this where they feel like they just don't measure up. Sometimes it could be to your father. Sometimes it could be to someone who, you know, like a mentor that you're thinking about in your life. Mm-hmm. And you can go through these great disappointments like, gosh, you can feel so worthless. And like, I'm never going to be a man like such and such.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, we're all going to feel that way, whether you're a man or you're a woman. Because the Bible talks about, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. You know, we are all fallen short.
Yeah.
We've all already don't measure up.
Right.
But Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us the 100% score to make us measure up and to fulfill a great life in our lives.
Yes. And when we seek Him first and we seek His ways, He will help us to grow in Him. The goal is to be like Him, not this person or that person, but to put our eyes on Jesus and to say, I want to do everything unto You, Lord. And that's how my life started to change. Instead of trying to be the perfect wife or trying to be who I wasn't, I said, God, I want to be the best me that You created me to be. And my whole life changed. Let's hear from Eddie Anders after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Elite Nails and Spa Towers and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Dreaming of a relaxing manicure, pedicure, and to die for nails? Make your dream a reality at Elite Nails and Spa, where they always take the time to leave you feeling sensational. Come see them at the corner of East Hamden and South Tower Road in Aurora, or call them at 303-955-7112. You'll get a 10% discount if you mention this radio ad. That's 303-955-7112.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult,
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakening.com. AwakeningTheNations.com. That's www.AwakeningTheNations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Eddie Anders, and he has been in music radio for more than 35 years. In fact, he's performed with people such as Dolly Parton, Truth, the Gaither Vocal Band. He's also been with a lot of other artists and was pretty well known. But what happened to him is he ended up having event-driven depression, which led him to attempted suicide. And doctors wondered how he was even alive. So let's welcome to the show, Eddie. Thanks for being with us.
It's great. Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes. So I understand that you grew up in a situation where it was very religious, but also very legalistic. So you believed there was a God, but you felt like you had to work your way or earn your way to His love.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think the people were sincere and people loved me and all that kind of thing. I wasn't abused at all, but the situation was they kind of taught you to live from the outside in. In other words, You perform for God. You do things to please God and please the church and please the leaders and please your parents and please, please, please. And if you make everybody happy enough and you check up all the boxes and you look like it, sound like it, and perform like it, then everybody will be pleased, including God. So, you know, it kind of created a weird thing, you know, of performance-based Christianity where you're always trying to prove yourself and trying to be accepted.
And you found yourself as though you were very successful. You had a restaurant, you were making CDs, hanging out with famous people. You just weren't happy. And to be honest, it made it harder for you knowing you had everything, but yet still didn't feel fulfilled. Tell me about that.
That bent that I had growing up that way turned into, you know, had a black belt in perfectionism. So I was never satisfied with anything. You know, it's good to have a strong work ethic and even to be driven and all those kind of things that they teach us in American entrepreneurship. But mine went to the extreme and I just never could be happy. There was always more. There was always more. I mean, I could do concerts and have 3,000 people there, personal concerts, just my own. And I'd sell all the product at the table, have 3 standing ovations, and a lot of people respond for prayer. It was a ministry-oriented situation. And still, I got in my car and drove home unsatisfied, thinking I could have done this better, done this better. You know, if only I had brought more product, I could have sold more. You know, so
yeah.
I was always kicking myself for something.
And that's really hard. Seemed like you were feeling in some type of condemnation, constantly feeling like condemning yourself. And that would have been a very difficult place to live. And then on top of it, here you are where you had this cafe and there was a hard partnership that you struggled with. And a lot of major things started happening, including a surgery. And it was one thing after another. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, well, through the years working, you know, I call it in the land of Oz, living behind the curtain. I became real cynical because I saw a lot of things that shouldn't be the way they were. And I was disappointed in some of the people that I had looked up to all my life and wanted to work with. And when I finally got there, you know, I was really disappointed and hurt because of what I saw, sometimes hurt by them. And then I finally got my dream in that we built our own place, a family entertainment venue called Eddie's Heart and Soul Cafe. And it was a cross between Cracker Barrel, Hard Rock Cafe, and Willow Creek Community Church. And it was this cool combination of things. But we didn't promote it as a Christian place. We wanted to compete in the secular world. In fact, our goal was to get to downtown Disney, Fort Lauderdale, Atlanta, different places like that. And we were working hard on that. And we were voted the best restaurant in the Smokies during the 90s, you know, 3 years in a row. Just everything you could imagine. We were endorsed by everybody from Billy Graham and his family to Robert Shuler to Peyton Manning to Sting and McCartney. And I had all this stuff, guitars from all these people and jerseys from all these athletes. And so it was amazing. And wow. My partner saw that and they put their land up and I put my sweat into it and our prayers and our musicianship and with all of our relations and friends around the world. And it was very successful and everything was going the way it's supposed to. And I was going to buy them out. I offered them $2.5 million to buy a 250 seat restaurant, which they had $12,000 invested in cash, and they turned me down. And they said, we're not going to take less than $5.3 million. And it was like, wow. And we've got to this impasse. And because I was only a 30% equity partner, things went rough. Mm. And with lawyers and attorneys, a lot of corporate people that were brilliant and a lot of ministry people that were brilliant and a lot of attorneys that were brilliant, they all told me I had one option, and that was to get away from them. They locked me out of my own office. They locked me out of the financial office. They quit paying the payroll taxes. And because I was the president of the corporation, they hung it all on me. Mm. And I eventually had to file Chapter 7 and leave it all behind. Because it was just a fight that I could not win. And especially in the courtrooms of the good old boy network of East Tennessee, it wasn't going to happen.
Wow. And that just brought your depression down further. And you were a worship leader. You were a teaching pastor at your church. But at the same time, inside, you were dying. In fact, you were looking for ways to just die. You were feeling like you just wanted it to end. Tell me about that feeling and what you were going through.
Well, we left the cafe in 2000. A year later, I had ruptured diverticulitis, gallstones, and appendicitis all at once. That almost killed me. My insides had exploded from the fight. Then came the recovery from that. It's when I got on the Ambien, the sleeping medication, because I trained myself all during the 90s not to sleep. I slept about 3 hours a night. I told you my schedule, your eye would roll over in your head. I mean, it was amazing. I can't believe I did the things that I did back then. Wow. That being said, I took a position as a worship pastor and a teaching pastor at a church in the Midwest, fastest growing church in Iowa. It was a great situation. Everybody thought that I was rebounding and recovering. I was writing some of the best stuff I'd ever written. I would lead worship in front of 2,000 people, go up the elevator to my office on a third floor and look for ways to take my own life because I just couldn't get past what happened to me in Tennessee. And that performing thing that I told you about and that perfectionist spirit, I just really felt that I'd failed God. I wasn't mad at everybody else. I took it out all on myself, self-loathing. I wrote in my book, I was tired of being me. And I really felt Nancy and my kids would be better off without me, and everybody that knew me would be better off. And I think the Ambien that I had taken, it's only designed to be taken for a couple of weeks at a time. I'd been on two a night for 5 years at this point. So I think that enhanced the depression. And that being said, I began to stockpile. I saved up 200 Ambien and multiple bottles of Dramamine and some prescription Phenibrin, which is anti-nausea meds they give you when you go through surgery, some surgical procedure. And I had the anti-nausea stuff because when I took the Ambien, I didn't want to be sick and lose it all, you know, so it was very premeditated.
Right. And you had something in mind with all of that about how you were going to take your life. In fact, like you mentioned, you wrote a book, Waking Up Dead, and we're going to hear more about that on our next show. But right now, we're going to pray for people who are in your same situation. Maybe they believe in God, but they just feel like they can't get over what they've done or they're never good enough. And we want to see people get set free because actually, the end of your story, you did get freedom. And we know that other people can too. So we're going to have you on our next show and we're going to pray for our guests right now.
I really liked what he said. He said that he felt like he failed God. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, they live their lives and they're like, I'm going to do all this stuff for the Lord. And then they feel like they failed God. And it leads them to this depression, like, what else is there? How could I be accepted? How could anything happen for me? So I'm just praying for that individual who, I just sense that that word is for someone that you have not failed God. You failed maybe some expectations that you set up, but God has not felt like you failed him, that he loves you, he cares for you, and he has a second chance and even more chances than that. He's well pleased with you because of what he did at the cross. Jesus, let us all, as we're listening, not get caught up with that performance mindset, but to be like different, saying, gosh, God, I need to know that you died on the cross and you performed. You did it. You did it, God. And that's all I need. So we receive what you did at the cross right now. We put aside those other things so that we can live in that content place. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God loves you so much. It's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus has already done for you. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.